Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lean Toss Up Call of Duty League podcast. My name is Robert Martin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host CDL Metrics, and we are back. It has been a long, kind of mid-ish season break here between Major 3 and the start of Major 4 qualifiers. We're here now to discuss Major 4 Week 1 qualifiers here. How are you doing today? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing right. Yeah, the break was nice. I think it's smart that they build in a couple weeks. You know, it gives us some time to reset, to maybe change up the map pool, which I know is happening now. Some roster moves have come in, so it's a nice kind of just refresh for everybody. But yeah, I'm ready to jump back into it. I've missed it the last couple weekends, and I'm ready for it to return. The one downside with Major 4, obviously, is that it'll be on LAN, but not in front of an audience, to our knowledge. Since no one could host the Major, the COD League was just like, everybody come to Columbus, and we'll play it in our studios, or I don't know, maybe like someone's house. Probably not that, but like, yeah, it's just kind of a weird Major, I guess. But the online qualifiers will be the same as they always are. You know, 30 matches over 3 weekends. Yeah, and I'm super pumped to talk about it. Obviously, congrats to Toronto, your Toronto Ultra, Robert, for
yes.
Taking home Major 3. That was a really, really fun Major to watch. Obviously, in Texas with the Optic crowd, those Majors just go crazy. Optic went on a ludicrous loser's bracket run. They basically did what LA Thieves did at Major 2, except they did it in front of a home crowd that was just carrying them through the tournament, I think. But yeah, very entertaining. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it. As a Rocker fan, it was exactly what I thought it would be. You know, having to play the loser of FaZe Thieves in Losers Round 1, that went about how we thought it would. And yeah, now they've got a roster change moving forward, which I know we'll touch in on a little later. But yeah, overall, great Major 3. And Major 4 probably won't be able to top it, but maybe it can come kind of close. I don't know.
Yeah, it was really good for Ultra there. I was really happy with that. It's weird though. I did not bet on them in the final. Maybe that's the, because usually I do bet on them to win the tournament. I didn't like the tournament wide number initially. I thought it was a bit too short, so I didn't bet it. And then in the finals, because they beat FaZe but got massively outslain, I'm like, I don't like this. So I bet on Optic, and then I didn't actually win. And I, to be fair, I won because Ultra beat FaZe in earlier in the day. So I did with some money, and then I bet Optic heavily against FaZe as well. So I did win money. But yeah, like I bet I was on Optic, and I was surprised when they did that. Now the thing of it is, again, this is something we talked about a while, right? Because we had always said, Optic had like, Ultra had it in them. Right, we always said that this was a competitive team. This is one of our top teams going into this year, and apparently it was just Standy that was holding them back. Apparently that was the key piece. Apparently they needed to jettison Standy, and then they would be fine. So
yeah.
and that worked. They're like, all right, you're gone after 1 week of qualifiers. You're gone, and then 3 weeks later they win a Major. So, and now Standy is a Las Vegas Legion, or I guess whatever the plural of Legion is. Yeah, now he's a member of the Las Vegas Legion, and the COD League already hyping up when they're going to play again, which I think is hilarious, but that's beside the point. But that will be a fun revenge game. But yeah, no, it was really good run. And so we've got some interesting lines. So in the 2 weeks we've been off, the Call of Duty League has pumped out a ton of lines, not just Major 4 qualifiers, but we actually have to win outright champs lines. I'm just going to touch these briefly, see if you see any value here. FaZe plus 250 to win champs, Ultra plus 250 to win champs, Optic 4-1, Thieves plus 450, Subliners plus 500, Surge 12-1, Breach 14-1, Rocker 50-1, Legion 100-1, Guerrillas 150-1, Mutineers 200-1, and Ravens 500-1 to win champs. If you're betting this, I kind of think it's Ultra, if I had to hazard a guess. But I think
like that's what you prefer. Your guess for what I prefer would be
well,
Toronto.
I think you're going to probably say Optic, but I think I'd say Toronto's the play. Or you think FaZe? You think FaZe?
I think FaZe at +250 is good enough if you want it. They're a lock to make it. I suppose the standings kind of matter for this. I know FaZe are number one in the points table, but the points table is not something I look at that often. So let me just quick pull that up just to see where we're at for that. Yeah, FaZe have 225 points. Ninth place has 90. They're going to make it. So yeah, +250. I don't know. Toronto did win Major 3. They're perhaps the hottest team in the game right now. But I can't really justify a price matching Atlanta. I still think Atlanta are the best team in the game. Because, right, Atlanta, to me, their Sunday at Major 3 looked a lot like Toronto's Saturday, I think it was, at Major 2, where Toronto ran into FaZe and got crushed and then fell down to loser's bracket, played Thieves, who also got crushed. Now, that was a different Toronto team, but FaZe on that Sunday, right, they go into the winner's bracket final, they lose to Toronto, they drop down, they lose to Optic, who just has their number at this point. Yeah, two not-so-great matches, but that happens with FaZe. 3-1 losses, I believe, in both of those. That's how they lose. You know, Hardpoint's been a struggle for them. Maybe they can bounce back a little bit there. The one thing that also worries me with Toronto a little bit is the meta change heading into Major 4. And I'm not really worried at all, but it's something to consider, right? So Fortress Control is officially out, which for a viewer, thank goodness, because that is a hard map to watch people play. Expo Control, I think, will be a better viewing experience for people. It'll play a lot differently than Fortress, obviously. I've played it a little bit in ranked play. To me, it feels closest to Hotel Control, which I think is probably the most liked control map for in terms of just like viewership. But if you're changing up the meta in Control, which is Toronto's best mode, like, you know, it could shuffle things around. The one thing with them is they barely played Fortress Control anyway. So now Expo Control could just be another map that's added to their arsenal. So one thing to caution with Toronto, they'll be in champs. They'll be fine. I just, +250 is a little high right now. I think you are buying them at their peak. Optic and LA Thieves about 4-1, 4.5-1. Seems about right. New York 5-1, I'm seeing right now. It's tough. New York's obviously a team that my models liked all year, but they are trending very much downward. I think they can correct that. I still have faith in them. A 5-1 right now isn't something I'm super interested in. Seattle at 11-1, again, that's a team that's really inconsistent. Right now, they're 7th in the points table. I don't think they'll fall out of the champs, you know, seeding, but it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. So that has some risk to it. Boston at 14-1, I kind of like. They're 6th in the points table. There's kind of a big cluster of teams in the middle, but they're sitting comfortably in the points table right now. 6th, 140 points. That's 50 points ahead of 9th. A team that looked great with Beans on the roster. Since Beans on the roster, like, they've looked really good. They've picked up right where they left off with Major 2. They're winning Search and Destroys more regularly now. Their Hardpoint, their Control are both solid. I'd like maybe the number to be closer to 20-1, but a 14-1 is fine. Rocker, 50-1, I think there's a really good chance they don't even make champs, so that's a pass. Legion at 100-1. That's kind of interesting. Again, they'd have to leapfrog Rocker, but I think that's trending in the right direction to happen. Right now, Legion are 20 points back of Rocker, so they very well could be ahead of them by the end of this, you know, qualifier stage even, let alone qualifiers plus Major 4. So if Legion end up jumping Rocker, I think their price would go from 100-1 and maybe half that. Maybe it go to 50-1. Maybe 30-1. So that could be something I'm interested in. Obviously, they have to, you know, correct a lot of mistakes with their respawn, but with Standee on the team now, with Fortress Control gone, like, yeah, Legion could be a really interesting team moving forward. And then the other three, LA Guerrillas, Florida, and London, no interest in any of them. They're the bottom three in the points table. I mean, none of them are that far back from Minnesota. If Minnesota just continues to lose, like, maybe another one of those teams could jump them, but I don't know. Just something I'm not really interested in. Even if they make champs, like, you're going to run into a FaZe or a Toronto or whoever, and you'll probably just get bounced right away anyway. So, yeah, for me, I'm probably just going to wait on everything, but I might consider a FaZe, a Breach, and a Legion right now. But I've really got to think about it since we're still, you know, like 2 months or 2.5 months away from champs, whenever that is. So
yeah,
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. The thing of it is, my thing with Ultra is, if you don't, like, what is that price at champs, right? Is that price, like, what is the price you're looking at champs? Is that plus 150 at champs? Is it, like,
no,
it's probably maybe 2-1. Probably not that big of a difference, right? So.
Maybe. I just feel like the favorites in these tournaments going into them, they're in that plus 200, plus 300 range. And, like, right now, if Toronto was in a tournament, like, I don't think they have, like, a 30% chance to win those. And a 2-1 implies that, kind of. So, I don't know. Yeah, for me, Toronto's, it's got to be a little more like 5-1. And I think it could drop if Toronto look a little more human, you know, going into this qualifier stage. They have a pretty nice schedule, but, like, a team I would like to buy into once they start to stumble a little bit. I just think right now, based on what we just saw, like, it makes sense why they'd be tied with FaZe, but I don't know. I just need to see more of Toronto, even though they've been pretty consistent all year. So
fair.
I'm rooting for them, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
One more little future market here. They also have regular season MVP. No Rookie of the Year, I think, because we all kind of know who the Rookie of the Year is going to be. But they do have MVP. ABZ plus 150, Scrappy plus 240, Celium plus 275, Kleenex 7-1, Hydra plus 750. Simp 8-1, Pred 9-1, Shotzi 12-1, Dashi 14-1, Octane 18-1, Envoy 20-1, Draza 22, Slasher 25, Kismet 28, Kenny 33, and it just keeps going down. Awakening 50, kind of, it just goes down from there. But, like, I kind of think there might be some value on Scrappy. I don't know. Abizi's been really good, and that's why he's ahead of Celium, but I kind of think if Ultra wins another event, maybe that goes to Scrappy. I think I gotta think that, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Abizi, it's tough, right? Because Atlanta are number one in the points table now. I would, you know, if I'm putting money on who's gonna finish first at the end of the season, and that's probably a good indicator of who will win the MVP, will be from the team that is in first. I think it'll be FaZe. Right now, it looks like a two-horse race. I'm honestly pretty shocked that Toronto's only 10 points back of FaZe, but that's where we are. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. If Toronto wins another major, Scrap already has one tournament MVP under his belt. He very well could win a second one. And at that point, it's like, okay, like, I don't even know if Abizi could win it at that point, because Simp, right, was the Major 2 MVP. It's close. I feel like it's between those two guys. I don't think they'd, even if Celium gets crazy hot down the stretch, I really don't think they're going to want to give it to him for a second year in a row. You know, the year before that was Simp. So it would be quite the story to have Simp, Celium, and then a BZ MVP in back-to-back-to-back years. But yeah, you're right. Scrap's been the highest-rated player among my player metrics this year. The best control player in the game by quite a big margin. a phenomenal hardpoint player. His search has been solid. He hasn't been asked to be like the dude in search and destroy for that team because they kind of share that responsibility. But he's been great in that mode as well. Like, there's just no weakness with him. Abizi, the case against him, right, is just in hardpoint. Like, Atlanta's hardpoint is not great to begin with. And even when they win, it's not really because of him. It's usually because of Celium. He carries that team so far in hardpoint. Abizi, obviously, search and destroy master. Very good at control as well. But, like, his raw KD numbers take a hit. Just because of his hardpoint performance. Not saying he's bad, it's just Scrap is great at everything. Abizi is phenomenal at two of the three modes. So that's what it could come down to. But yeah, I wouldn't hate if you just paired those two. I know they're the two favorites and that's kind of gross, but man, it's really hard to envision someone else unless one of these other teams who hasn't won a major, or maybe New York if they win another one. Maybe Hydra gets into the mix there, but yeah, Abizi and Scrap, I think rightfully so, are the favorites and should be the favorites. And I don't hate Scrap at, you said, plus 240?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me if you want it.
Yeah. All right, well, that's for that futures now. Now, luckily enough, because of the longer break, Bet365 has given us win totals back this year, this major. With one exception, Minnesota Rocker is not on there. I assume that's just because of some generally, I think their win total was on the board, but it was off the board with a new zone attached, so I think they pulled it. So there's basically, there's 11 win totals here. So we've got Atlanta Phase over 3.5 -110. Boston Breach over two. So actually, I'll say the other side too. Over 3.5 -110. Under 3.5 -125. Boston over 2.5 -138. Under 2.5 +100. Florida over 1.5 -125. Under 1.5 -110. LAG over 1.5 +100. Under 1.5 -138. LA Thieves over 3.5 +150, under 3.5 -200. Las Vegas Legion over 2.5 +120, under 2.5 -163. London Royal Ravens over 1.5 juiced the over at -150, the under is +110. Subliners over 2.5 is huge juice on that -200. So they're basically saying that they think very highly the Subliners are going to win three games. Under 2.5 +150. Optic Texas +3.5 over 3.5 is +175. That's a big number there for just four wins. Under 3.5 -250. Surge over 2.5 -138. Under 2.5 +100. And then finally, the Toronto Ultra, defending champions, over 3.5 +125. Under 3.5 -175. So, all right, which ones on here do you like the most? Actually, I think I'll go first a bit, and also the ones I like the most. So I like Toronto over, I like Optic over, and I like London over a lot. I like Legion over, and I like FaZe over. And I think that's about it. I don't really have a lean on some of the other ones. I don't really have... Do I have a lean on LAG? No, I don't have a lean on LAG. I don't have a lean on that one. I think it's weird, right? Because I have FaZe at 3.96 wins, the highest of the thing. But again, when you're looking at decimal numbers of wins, it doesn't really matter that much. Basically, this is what my model is saying, is that Toronto versus FaZe is going to decide who's going to be the number one seed.
Yeah, I could buy that for sure.
I've got FaZe at 3.9, Ultra at 3.7, surprisingly Optic in third at 3.6. So all of them kind of clustered together. And then I also have Las Vegas. Las Vegas at 3.49, so almost 3 to 4 wins. And then London, I've got London at 2.29 wins, so 2.3 wins. So over the 1.5 relatively easily. But yeah, it's the thing of it is, when you look at it, like, Toronto has a pretty decent schedule. Toronto's got Boston, Seattle, FaZe, obviously. FaZe is tough, but remember, they're over three, it's over 3.5, and then they got Florida, Vegas, right? So it's 3.5, but at the same point in time, they just got to win the other four games outside of FaZe, right? And they could very easily win the other four games outside of FaZe. They can beat FaZe, too, but if they just beat the other teams outside of FaZe, then they can easily get that. Optic has a ridiculously easy schedule. They've got London, which actually London might give them some issues. But then you've got New York, which I don't believe in New York at all. They've got Thieves, which looks worse by the day. They've got LAG, which their academy teams are shut down. It's only a matter of time before their CDL team kind of packs it in. And then they've got Boston, which is a relatively competitive game, but I think I have them in the edge there too. And FaZe also has a ridiculously easy schedule outside of the aforementioned Toronto game. They've got Florida, lol, New York, lol, Minnesota, lol, and then they also have Seattle, which depending on the day, may or may not be an easy match or not, right? Vegas also has a relatively easy schedule too. They've got Boston, they got London, they get LAG, and they have Toronto, but they have Florida, right? So that's two, and then they need to pick up another one of like London or Boston. And then London is relatively competitive in all their matches. It's relatively easy to get them to two wins, but not much more than that. What my model is saying is that we're basically now getting back to the era of there are three or four good teams and everybody else is crap. It's basically what my model is basically saying that right now. My model is like there are four good teams and everybody else is just playing for fifth place at this point, right? And I think there is some sense to that based on the results we've seen before. Like, when you look at the results and it's like, wow, that was crazy, and there's just a bunch of chaos happening in some other ones. And then, like, when you look at, like, the lower bracket in the last time, when in the first couple rounds, it was just like anybody could win, right? You were able to bet on variance and you were able to win a lot of games that way. But once you got to the upper bracket, it was very clear who the better teams were, and those teams dominated, right? So I think in many ways that's the issue going forward, and I think that's what the model's seeing, and I kind of think that's how this is going to play out going forward. What do you think?
No, I'd bump that number up a little bit in terms of just like teams I think are competitive that could win a major or champs. Like 4 or 5 is a little low to me. I would actually expand that out to maybe 7 or 8 teams. Obviously there are 3 teams that have already won a major. I think all 3 of those could win another one. Even New York, I know it's been a while for them. I know they're trending in a really bad direction, but it's still a talented team. Maybe the control meta changing can help them a little bit, but some really close losses this past major. And obviously like close losses are still losses, but maybe they can bounce back and win some close ones this time around. Again, a team that I'm fading on a little bit, but I still think is a quality team. Atlanta, obviously, they've been great for years. They'll still be good. Toronto just showed that they can win a major. Teams that have been close, right? Optic's been close. Thieves have been close. When those teams are hot, you know, Seattle has been to a major final, if I'm not mistaken. They lost to New York at Major 1. They can get hot. I would throw Boston in that mix. They've been pretty consistently good all year. There hasn't been a drop-off with Beans yet. They went on a nice little run this past major. So they're right there. I can see a run for them. And then maybe you throw Vegas in that mix. A relatively soft schedule this major. You bring Standy into the team to help respawn, presumably. Your Search and Destroy should be able to stabilize. Standy hasn't been good. He's been pretty awful in Search and Destroy, just being perfectly honest. But Vegas' core 3, right? TJ, Temp, Clay, all phenomenal S&D players. I think if they just go, Standy, we're going to ask you to do, you know, this specific role in Search on this map. You're going to play like this on this. Like, if they just dictate how he needs to play in Search, I think their Search will remain very good. And if he can just bring some extra slang capability in Hardpoint, in Control, if this new Control map is good for them or just average, this Vegas team can make waves, I think. That's 8 teams. Obviously, Minnesota, a train wreck right now. We'll see if the attach move works or not. Their schedule this stage is pretty difficult. We'll talk about them a little later. Some unique matches. In a unique match setup for them moving forward. Like Florida, LAG, London, no thanks. I know London makes some noise here and there. They've had moments where you're like, wow, okay, they almost beat this team. They almost beat that team. Those matches happen, and it very well could be that they should have won those matches. But I think we overlook, like, when London goes up against a middle-of-the-pack team and loses comfortably. Like, that just kind of escapes our mind with these bad teams. And we remember the times where it's like, oh, London took Toronto to the brink, or they beat them, or London almost beat Optic on day two of the major. Like, they almost took out the team that got second. So if they can just get a couple things here and there. There is a team change with London, so maybe that can help them get over the hump. But still, like, I don't know. To me, there's a pretty clear-cut bottom four. That's Rocker, Mutineers, LA Gorillas, and London in no particular order. But, yeah, I think those, there's seven that are solid. Vegas, to me, is this weird team that could, I'm leaning into the fact that they could make noise and they could surprise some people. More so than they'll fall back and be in that bottom four. So yeah, they're kind of the weird team, but obviously there's tiers within that, right? FaZe and Toronto, I think you could argue, are on this tier at the top. You could, I might even say FaZe are alone at the top, even still with the losses. They just, you know, they're going to be top three at every major. It's just a matter of, all right, they're going to run into a couple other hot teams. You know, can they get lucky? Can they get by on those teams? But just knowing they're there every single time, like, that's key to success. So yeah, that's kind of where I fall with things in terms of over unders for this stage. I like more overs than I like unders, which is a little scary to me, but yeah, FaZe over, you mentioned that you kind of like it. A Florida match, a Rocker match, those are very, very likely to be wins. Their other three are New York, who is struggling, Toronto, which should be a tough one, and a Seattle team that's pretty inconsistent. So it's like, okay, you got to get four of them. Two are layups. Can you win two of those other three? I really think they can. I've got them at 3.76 wins. So not quite as high as you, but I still really like that. Another one I like, LA Thieves over 3.5, another over big number. That one pays out plus 150. But they have perhaps the softest schedule of anybody this stage. They start out London, then Seattle, then LAG, then Optic in a match I actually have Optic favored in slightly. And then they end with Rocker. Like, to me, there's three easy wins, Seattle and Optic pretty close to coin tosses. So it's like, all right, if I get three wins and then there's two coin flips and I need one of them to go my way, I'll take plus 150 on Thieves to go over. Legion might be my favorite. You mentioned that you like their over as well. It's 2.5 wins plus 120. Legion have Boston. I do have them as underdogs against Boston, but not significant. Then they get London. I have them favored over. LAG, again, favored over. They run into Toronto. That'll be a tough one. That's likely a loss. And then a Florida team that is also in the bottom three, in my opinion. So three games they're favored in, a winnable one against Boston, a not-so-winnable one against Toronto. I think you add that up, you get over 2.5, or right around that 2.5 number anyway. And if it's plus 120, then I really, really like it. So those are the three overs I like. There's one under, maybe two, that I'd consider. And this one goes against you a little bit. London under 1.5. I know it's a really tiny number, but there's just nothing easy on their schedule. They play Thieves, Optic, Breach, Legion, who we've talked about a lot, and then they end with Subliners, who I know are fading fast, but it's like, I'd rather have London play them early in the major than, or early in the qualifiers than late. So that to me is tough. I do think they'll get one of those matches. Two is asking a little bit much, in my opinion, but it's not something I love. And then the other under I'd consider, but I don't love it. But it's close. I think it's Seattle. Seattle is 2.5, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 2.5. The under is even money. I've got them at 2.46 wins, so it's right under that mark. Yeah, it's tough. I have them favored over Florida and LA Gorillas comfortably, but underdogs in their other three matches, which are Thieves, Toronto, and FaZe. Toronto and FaZe, significant underdogs, and then that Thieves match is basically a toss-up, but one that I do have them slight underdogs in anyway. So that one, again, a little bit of interest in that. Yeah, kind of bummed we don't see the Minnesota number. Maybe it comes out eventually. But I don't know if I'd have the guts to take an over on Minnesota, even if it was 0.5 wins at this point. But yeah, that's kind of where I fall. I think consensus between us is clearly Vegas over and maybe, you know, a phase over, even though that number's pretty high. But yeah, I mean, you could make justifications for just about any team, but I think we're in agreement on those two for sure.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I think that's a good place to stop on the win totals. Let's move on to the matches here. So again, we've got 10 matches this weekend. We're gonna skip over the number one seed, because honestly, it's PS. Like, this crazy stuff happens and it's like, oh, this is the number one seed now, because no one actually, there's no value in the number one seed. And I think just no one really cares that much about if they're in the number one versus the number two seed. It doesn't really matter that much. So yeah, I think we'll move on to the matches. So Friday afternoon, Boston versus Las Vegas. Boston -1.5, -125. Las Vegas +1.5, -105. Boston Breach -220 on the money line. Las Vegas Legion +164. Over 4.5, +170. Under 4.5, -225. And as we mentioned before, they've updated. Las Vegas Legion has basically made a team change with calling in Ulysses. Standy, sorry. London is Ulysses, sorry. They've called in Standy now in place of Two-Reels. Two-Reel was, in fact, struggling. So that's very fair. My model has Las Vegas favored here, and that's before you factor in Standy being upgraded over Two-Reel. And I just, I think this is a very good team, and I think, I kind of think they're the better team. And I mean, maybe they're like, I do have Boston as a better hardpoint team, about 25 points better. And surprisingly enough, the spread is exactly 25.5. So apparently their model is saying something very similar to my model here. But no, I think Legion are the better team. And you're giving me +1.5. At basically even, just slightly less than even odds. That's amazing. I priced the Legion +1.5 at 70%. So, like, that's insane value. I'll take that any day. And the thing of it is, you even get to the point where, like, if they are better at hardpoint, if Standy does help them in hardpoint, then suddenly Las Vegas -1.5 kind of alt line makes a lot of sense. Like, honestly, that can be had for +500. Wow. Ooh. That's a little tempting there, I think. I think that's a little tempting. Again, if they just improve at hardpoint slightly, well, actually, to be fair, they also kind of suck it in control. But if they can fix the control too, watch out, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you. I don't love Vegas, but I like them. Like, they're the clear side for me in this match. Yeah, and to your point, hardpoint struggles, I think, could continue for Vegas. Now, they're not the worst in the league, but they're closer to the worst than the best. One man can only help you so much in that game mode. I think he will help. Standy's strength, I think, is in his hardpoint and control. And yeah, like, it could help. Two-Reel, you're right. He's been fine for them, you know, underwhelming, but they've been winning games with him, so he's done his job well. Can Standy come in and match his output? I think so. Can he do better than him? I think so too. And as long as Standy just doesn't just hurt them in search and destroys, just avoid getting first blooded. They're a smart search team. Just listen to their strategies, what they want you to do. Go out and do it. You have the gun skill, you have the movement. Like, it's there for you. Just play within the team in S&D. This Vegas team should get better. And this match is really interesting for control, right? So Fortress control out, Expo control in. Obviously, we haven't seen any matches on Expo control. you know, in a CDL match, but Boston Breach, Fortress Control, 6-3 on the year. That win percentage ranked second. In my power rankings, third overall on that map. Las Vegas Legion, Fortress Control, 1-5. Granted, they're horrible at every control map, but 1-5, that's the 11th best win percentage. The power rank for me on that map for them is actually last, even with the one win they had. So, a good map for Boston, a horrible map for Legion. That's out of the rotation now. It's Hotel, it's El Asilo, and it's Expo. If you're Vegas, you're 0-6 on El Asilo. So, like that, honestly, at this point, auto veto that. Boston Breach have a 6-3 record on that. That should be pretty clear. Just veto El Asilo against Breach. Okay, Breach. You have Breenburg Hotel, where you're 2-4. It's their worst map, it's their least played map. Or do you veto that and go, we'll square up with you on this new map? To which, you know, we don't know. Boston Breach could be far superior on that map. It could be a map that Vegas is all of a sudden good at and no one knows because no one knows anything about that map. So control is a huge, huge deal in this series. Right now, my model says Breach has an 82% chance to win control. That's obviously way too high. You know, if I'm just going to gut check that number right now, I'd say maybe Breach favored slightly, but not by much, maybe 60-40 in that mode. And if that's the case, that brings, you know, the odds to win the series down quite a bit for Breach and helps out a lot with Vegas. So this is a big match for Vegas, too, if you like the over 2.5, because they have, you know, two or three other very winnable games. If they can get this one in the bank, they're looking really good for a winner's bracket start, which I know we were all hoping they would get at Major 3. It didn't quite happen, but they're very, very much set up for a winner's bracket start if they can get past Breach, and I really like their chances. So give me Vegas. I haven't been this confident in a while about a match, but yeah, I really like Legion's path moving forward and their prospects, you know, to make champs and to make some noise in the league, finally. For this organization.
Yeah, look at us there, Green, right off the top there, early in the night here. Next match on Friday, and I think we're going to disagree with this one. Los Angeles Thieves versus London Royal Ravens. Thieves -1.5, -110. Ravens +1.5, -120. Thieves -275 on the money line. Ravens +193. Over 4.5, +165. Under 4.5, -220. I've got Ravens slightly favored in this match. And again,
wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't think you're gonna agree with that one. I mean, here's the thing, though. On some level, like. And this is what the model is saying. The model is saying London almost beat Optic. Optic almost won the event. I mean, they came second, whatever, right? Close enough. But that's what the model is saying. That's what the model is seeing. And it's like, okay, well then that team is really good then, right? Like that's all it's saying. It's saying that, hey, this team must be, if this team is able to do that, it must be pretty good. So the model does like, It likes London here, and I can't disagree with it. I love London. I mean, you're giving me, again, even money on a +1.5. I've got that as a 71% chance. I do have Thieves as a better hardpoint team and a better search team, but I weirdly have London as a better search and control team. I have them better in the game for hardpoint. It's very weird. I don't know how to, like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I think that saying Thieves -1.5, -110, this little look of that is just so much of a trap. It's just begging you to be like, they're begging you to bet it, at which point I'm like, I will not bet that because that's so clearly a trap. So yeah, London +1.5. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not in complete disagreement with you because I don't absolutely love Thieves, but I lean towards that side as opposed to the London side. Yeah, just looking at control specifically, I really do think this matters a lot, especially going into the first, you know, weekend of Expo control matches. We saw it last year when Berlin was introduced into the control map pool. We played a lot of it, right? Teams wanted reps on it because if you were a bad control team, you wanted to at least see what you looked like on this new map. And if you're a good control team, right, you want to see if you can add it to the map pool anyway. So I feel like we're going to get a lot of that. Just comparing the two in Fortress Control, it was actually a good map for both, despite them not playing it that much. So Thieves were 4-2 on Fortress, second win percentage in the league, or tied for second. Power ranked second as well for me. London only played it 3 times, but they were 2-1. Again, that win percentage ranked second. Power ranked 4th, but very close to Thieves. So you throw those maps out, now you're left with Hotel, El Asilo, and obviously the new map. Hotel pretty awful for London. They're 3-10. A lot of those losses have been close, and they've been to quality control teams. So the record is much worse than it probably should be. So I can understand where some regression for them on that map and mode can happen. And they love to play it. They played that 13 times. They've played Fortress 3, El Asilo 3. So they very rarely, if ever, have vetoed it. Same thing for Thieves, right? 13-6 on control, Hotel Control specifically. That's a ton of maps. That's 19 maps. They've had 6 on Fortress, 6 on El Asilo. So I guess this one could be a, you know, both teams let Hotel Control through a lot. They play it a lot. That could be what we see. I think London's got a better chance if it ends up being Expo, just because, again, we haven't seen that yet from either team. And El Asilo, London are winless on and probably don't want to play that map anyway. So, yeah, if you're rooting for London, I would root for a map set that includes Expo control. If it's not in there, if it's Hotel, they've got a shot, but I still favor Thieves in that. And, yeah, I still favor Thieves in Hardpoint and in Search. Not overwhelmingly, and I actually think London could put up a fight in Hardpoint. Maybe, you know, split them. I think that's probably the most likely outcome if they play 2 Hardpoints is there's a split. But a London, you know, win 2 Hardpoints, maybe you can pull out an Expo control if that comes through. Yeah, like a London 3-1 wouldn't be a shock. But again, that's just something I'm fading right now. Obviously, London has a new team going into this stage. I'm curious to see how the roles will flip a little, if at all, because I know Nasty and Paul X kind of flipped roles at one point in the season where Nasty has had an SMG, Paul, who's now on the bench, has had the AR. Will Ulysses come in and just replace Paul's role? Perhaps. Paul X, let me just look at the stats here. I'm sorry, those flipped around. Paul was on the flex, SMG, Nasty pulled out the AR. Sorry, I had those backwards. So will Yuli come in with an SMG, put up better numbers than Paul? Very likely he could. Yeah, Paul's had a down year. So if he comes in and helps him at all, you know, a little bit in Hardpoint here, a little bit in control there. Their search is still very, very bad. In fact, worse than Seattle's, according to my numbers, which is... Yeah, we know, like, Seattle's been improving in that mode, but Seattle was in the basement for a long time, and now London has unfortunately taken their spot. So, yeah, to me, it's these. I get what you say about the -1.5 looking way too nice, -110. It's more of a stay away for me. I don't think I'm going to take any action on this, but I lean Thieves, but you can definitely talk me into London with the... You know, the roster change, the meta change, there's a lot of unknowns. And with a lot of unknowns, the underdog, you know, has a certain appeal to it. So I'm totally okay if you want to take Ravens in this spot here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take London. It will probably burn me, but whatever.
You'll have fun, right?
We'll have fun. We'll have fun while getting destroyed. But the thing of it is, it's just like, I think the books are just daring you to take Thieves. And my model says London, so I'm not going to disagree with the model. Weirdly, there's a weird kind of cycling error for the next match. The next match is actually Florida versus FaZe. They have FaZe and Subliners on Pavada here. It's the next match, but it's actually the next... It's weird. They need to flip those. But Florida versus FaZe.
It's FaZe New York on Friday. The last match on Friday.
What? It is?
Yes. Yes. FaZe New York. They do have one that's listed incorrectly. I see Florida FaZe as the one. They have Florida FaZe on March 31st, but that is actually a Sunday match. Because Florida are traveling to Wisconsin to play Minnesota, if that all makes sense, on Saturday. So Florida isn't playing a match until Saturday and then Sunday. They'll fly home, presumably, and play FaZe then. At least that's what I see on the website right now, is FaZe New York.
Yeah, okay.
On Friday.
So that's right, and the other one is wrong.
Yeah, I don't know why they have... They just need to move Mutineers FaZe down to the last game.
Huh, because Bet365 has Mutineers FaZe on Friday. Okay, well, whatever. Who knows? Whatever. It's all good. Fine, we'll do FaZe subliners then. All right. FaZe -1.5 +165. Subliners +1.5 -220. FaZe -200 on the money line. Subliners +145. Over 4.5 +140. Under 4.5 -185. Actually, so if you look on the props, the props on Bet365 are all for FaZe versus Florida. They're not for FaZe versus subliners. Let me do prize picks.
Let me look up DraftKings.
We're both like, okay, they're the ones who know.
I mean, I would still bank on the COD website being correct. Because if you think about it, so Minnesota, we'll get to their matches soon enough, but they're playing twice on Saturday because they're hosting their own LAN event in Madison, Wisconsin, my former hometown and college town. I'm bummed that I don't live there anymore because I'd love to go to the matches. But so they're Minnesota is flying out Florida and LA Gorillas to play both of them Saturday afternoon, which I think is really cool. But Florida also has a match this weekend, like in addition to the Rocker match, they play FaZe. So it makes more sense to put that game Sunday than Friday, right? Because if they play Friday versus FaZe, you're going to play them and then get on a plane and get to Wisconsin, and then you got to play Rocker 12 hours later, whatever it would be. So it would make more sense to have that Saturday match, fly home, I guess, or maybe they'd, I don't know, play from the Rocker headquarters, but then you're traveling from Madison to Minneapolis, and that's 4 hours. So I would guess Florida's just going to play Saturday, fly home, and that's why that FaZe match is the last one of the day to give them probably the most time. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know why all these websites have the order messed up. Maybe it used to be something and they just...
Now I think it was something and then they switched it and a couple of them caught up. And I think they are kind of caught. I think Bodog is kind of caught up, but not caught up. So unfortunately, I bet some Florida. They actually have all of them. Huh.
What?
So Bet365 for their prop markets, they actually have Florida versus FaZe. No, yeah, it's Florida versus FaZe. Yeah, they have Florida versus FaZe. So I bet a couple of those, so I'm not sure those will get void or not. Oh, well, not a big deal. We'll live.
I don't think they would.
If the game's just moved a couple days, they'll probably just hold them. I don't know. Who knows? Anyways, that's weird. But anyways, okay, so FaZe versus subliners. Yes. I mean, I love FaZe here. I've got FaZe 87% chance to win. Give me what's the -1.5 here? +165, yeah, give me that. Give me that all day. I've got that priced as 51%. So that's value.
Yeah.
On almost 2-1.
The more I look into it, the more I like FaZe. According to my model, the number's about spot on at -200 money line for FaZe. I've got them 67% to win, but I'm not sure that's high enough. Considering, right, New York slump, FaZe still looks like FaZe, and the control map switching out, right? FaZe have played Fortress Control 3 times this year. They've played Hotel 19, they've played El Asilo 7, so they veto it a lot. They're 1-2 on it, right? So not that great on it anyway. New York subliners. They're a phenomenal control team. They're 17-10 on the year. They're 8-1 on Fortress Control. They are dominant on that map, and it has disappeared from the rotation. Granted, they're still very good at Hotel, 8-4. FaZe are very good at hotels, 10-9. So I think you'd still favor New York on a hotel. El Asilo for New York, 1-5. For FaZe, it's 4-3. So you probably favor FaZe there. I think we're getting an Expo control here, and who knows how that'll go. So if you just make the control like a 50-50 instead of a 40-60, like what I have, that bumps FaZe up to, you know, past a 70% odds to win. I know you have them even higher than that. It's just, it's really hard to buy into New York at this point in time. It's a tough draw for them too. If you're a New York fan, like, you get FaZe on the first Friday of the qualifiers and you're in a slump, like, that's the last thing I want right now. If New York could have run into Minnesota or, you know, Florida, or I don't know, any number of teams, FaZe is tough stuff for them. I'm with you all the way here on FaZe. The -1.5. It's a big number. Their hard point is worrisome still. Like, New York are still the better hard point team. Atlanta is okay in that mode. I think you can expect a split in that. But just FaZe wins so often in a map 5. And, like, I don't know. To me, New York is a good enough hardpoint team where it's like, that's still probably going to be the case if FaZe wins. So I have a lot of confidence in FaZe. I'm not so sure they get it done in map 4. But if you can put that -200 somewhere else, or if that number drops somehow, I don't know how it would, but if somehow that happens, that's takeable. And even if you want -200, like, if it's still a good price, even though it's really high, like, it's a good price. So I'm with you on FaZe here. I'm almost, like, feeling weirded out by this whole Friday slate, because I have a pretty strong lean in two of those games. And, like, I don't know. We're at the point in the year where I feel like I shouldn't like anything on the board, but this Expo control, you know, lineup changes for team, there's a lot of stuff up in the air, and I think it could shuffle around a lot for teams. So I'm with you on FaZe here. And I don't know what else there is to say except New York needs to bounce back at some point, but I don't think it happens here.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Not this time, but maybe next time. All right, so then I guess the next match is Minnesota, Florida. Yeah, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Minnesota -1.5 +125. Florida +1.5 -165. Minnesota -155 on the money line. Florida +120 over 4.5 +150. I've got Florida as, like, 60% favorites here. I mean, I don't like Minnesota. Now, again, that's before I can't make the adjustments for Fame and for Attach. But I don't know. This just seems like a mess. Like, I don't love anything in this. I think Minnesota's better at hardpoint than Florida. Maybe that'll improve even more with Fame and in for Attach. I don't know. It's just it's a mess. I don't really see any particular, like, I'm not like, yes, I want to bet on this team. I want, like, right, if that makes any sense. I'm like, I want to bet. I have no desire to bet on this match at all. But that being said, it is a home crowd. Maybe Minnesota can pull it off. But I'm going to be picking my spots for this one. I think Florida is actually the better S&D team, which is weird because the, oh yeah, actually the -1.5 is +115. Like, I think they're better at S&D.
Yeah, that's not weird. Minnesota is on a gigantic S&D losing streak right now, so that does
but
not surprise me.
They are pretty good at hardpoint. The over 4.5 isn't bad at +150. That's not horrendous. It could be worse.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I've got this as a fairly likely map 5. 38% chance, I think, maybe 39. It gets to that map 5, so that's ballpark plus 150 if you want to just have some fun and root for a map 5. Yeah, this is a tough one. I have this as basically a 50-50 match. So yeah, value on Florida plus 120. Florida heavy favorites in search. Minnesota decent favorites in hardpoint, decent favorites in control. Let me just quickly look at their fortress stats. Florida didn't like to play it, 1-2 on the year. Minnesota let it through quite often, 4-6. So yeah, pretty mediocre for both teams. Minnesota 8-0 on El Asilo. That's a big number. Florida 4-4 on El Asilo. So here, Florida, you probably veto El Asilo. Minnesota, hotel, they've played it 6 times. They're 2-4. Florida 5-6. Both teams pretty much middle of the pack there. So you would probably get a hotel or an expo control here. So maybe that helps Florida's control a little bit more if it is an expo, just because we don't know what that brings for this Minnesota team, especially with a new player. Yeah, you're getting rid of Attach, who has put up some pretty solid numbers. Best mode for Attach, in my opinion, has been hardpoint. Control's been a close second. So yeah, if Fame comes in and can boost those numbers, like, okay, maybe they've got something going here, but I don't know. This Minnesota team worries me. You mentioned it, though, the home crowd, right? This is in Madison, Wisconsin, which is about a 4-hour drive from Minneapolis. You know, I was from Wisconsin. Minnesota is my quote-unquote hometown team. I know people in the area, you know, in Wisconsin that cheer for Minnesota a lot because of the first ever CDL event, you know, in 2020, January of 2020. That was held in Minnesota, so I do know some people that made the trek over to Minneapolis for that and just kind of became Rocker fans from that one event. So, yeah, it could be a fun atmosphere, a good one for Rocker, one that they desperately need. But, like, I don't know. Like, they're just in such a bad place right now. You're just kind of banking on, like, Fame being good. And I don't know if that'll happen. Florida is a good match to see if he is. Or it's a good match to just test the waters with him, I guess. So, at the end of the day, this is a stay away for me. But I lean Florida, just looking at the numbers and how the series could go. But just know that, like, Minnesota's got a crowd behind them. They've got a roster change that might spark something. So I'm talking myself into neither side and both sides at the same time, so that's when I know it's just a stay away. Obviously, rooting for Minnesota as a Rocker fan, as a former Madisonian. But excited to see how that plays out, the LAN environment for a non-major. It'll actually be the only matches played in front of a large crowd this stage, I think. Unless Major 4, they bring in people to watch that. We'll see, but just a stay away from me, I guess. Long story short.
Yeah, I think I don't love anything in this match either, but we'll see. Maybe I could find myself betting a Minnesota hardpoint spread, but that's about it. That's all I see. Okay, next up, Boston versus Toronto. Boston plus 1.5 minus 145. Ultra minus 1.5 minus plus 110. Boston plus 161 on the money line. Ultra minus 220. Over 4.5 plus 165. Under 4.5 minus 220. Model really loves Toronto here. As it makes sense because I've got Las Vegas over Boston, so it makes sense that I would have Toronto over Boston. I do see some value on the minus on the Toronto minus 1.5 as well. Toronto minus 154. When you're looking at plus 110, there's some value there. Hard point spread, I think that spread is a little short. I've got that at about a 40 point Toronto spread. The spread's 11. Search and destroy. I do have Boston weirdly better than Toronto in search, but I wouldn't take that to the bank. And then I do have Toronto way better in control. So then the plus 130. Minus 1.5 in control is not horrible there as well. So I'm on Toronto on this. How about you?
Yeah, another stay away for me. Yay. the price on this, according to my numbers, is pretty accurate. But if gun to my head, you're going to make me make a pick, I would actually lean Boston. And I think part of that is just you're buying Toronto at a very high price at this point in the year, having come off a major 3 victory where they didn't lose a match. Yeah, Boston are a solid team. I think they're, I don't know, it's tough. You either have to decide, okay, Boston and Toronto are in the same tier of these contending teams that aren't dominant, but are a step above, or like they're, it's tough. I don't know how to word it. Like, either you're putting Toronto in a tier with FaZe, or in my opinion, you're lumping Toronto in with a pool of teams like Thieves and Optic and Breach, I would maybe throw in there, and Seattle to an extent, and New York maybe, of just teams in the middle. And I tend to lean towards the latter, where it's like, they're close enough where I can't, like a minus 220 for Toronto, it just seems a little steep to me. However, I will say, right, Expo Control, we talked about how it might be an issue for Boston moving forward, because they were a solid fortress team, played it 9 times, have 6 wins. Toronto, perhaps the best control team in the league, actually, no, undoubtedly the best control team in the league, only played fortress 4 times, so they vetoed it a lot. And they were only 2-2 on that map anyway. So take away Fortress from Toronto's records. They're the number one hotel team, according to my numbers. They're the number 2 El Asilo team, according to my numbers. Combined, they're 18-6 on those maps. Boston on the same maps, 8-7, middle of the pack. You know, we'll see. If you're Toronto, actually, in this instance, I know you probably want to get reps on Expo Control, but I don't know. I think I like your odds in Hotel or El Asilo. And if Expo's been shaky in Scrim so far, like, maybe just veto that and get to it later. I know some teams last year had that veto process in mind. I think New York was one that came to mind, where Berlin Control came out and there were teams that just auto-vetoed it every time because it just didn't work for them in Scrims. They just were like, we know these other 2 control maps, we're just going to play you on the ones we know. And for Toronto, I don't know. They're an organization I expect would test out the map pool. I just think it could backfire in this series if they let it through versus Boston. So we'll see how Control shakes out. But yeah, Toronto, better hardpoint team, better search team. Not overwhelmingly so, but man, have they looked good in the last month or so. So yeah, if you're on Toronto, totally okay with it. I would just maybe hope that you don't see an Expo Control in this series at the very least. But yeah, Toronto, I think they'll take the series. The price is a little too steep for me.
Next up, LAG versus Minnesota. LAG plus 1.5. So now this is the other game now.
Yes.
LAG.
Yes.
This is the other Minnesota game. So they're playing 2 games in one day in their thing, which is, I think they're innovating, and this is an attempt to do something, but if the COD League dies, it won't matter anyways. But right. LAG plus 1.5, minus 145. Minnesota minus 1.5, plus 110. LAG plus 130 on the money line. Minnesota minus 170. Over 4.5, plus 160. Under 4.5, minus 210. It's tough, but I give a slight edge to LAG, actually. My model really hates Minnesota, but again, this is the problem. It can't evaluate Fame. I have no idea who that is. The model doesn't know who that is. Probably maybe better than Attach, maybe not. Who knows? I will say they waited a little too long to make this change, I feel like.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they should have made it before Major 3. Like, I was saying that, but their third place finish just kind of clouded their view of their team.
But they should have been immediately after the Major, they should have been like, all right, cool, we're making a team change now, right?
They couldn't, because they were thinking, all right, well, we got third, despite going 2-2 and having a negative map record. Like, just the finishing place has such a hold in people's minds. And it's like
Seattle last year's champs.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's tough sometimes, but yeah, this is a match where, again, I'm probably just going to stay away, but root for Rocker. Honestly, though, one way you might want to play this is just Florida moneyline to beat Rocker, LAG moneyline, and hope one of them wins. That's a little scary, right? Because if Minnesota come out and look like a completely different team with Fame, then their later match in the day all of a sudden jumps to, you know, minus 200, minus 225, whatever. Like, the line movement could be enormous depending on how that first match goes. And it could go the other way as well, right? If Minnesota fall flat on their face in front of the crowd with Fame on the team, okay, well, now you got to, you know, wait an hour and then go out on the stage and play LAG, who, right, neither of these teams are good. Like, LAG or Florida or Minnesota. Like, they're all kind of in that bottom of the barrel bucket. But, like, I don't know. It's an interesting scenario just considering that this is in front of a live crowd that's very much going to be Minnesota-backed. Minnesota, their schedule moving forward is a gauntlet, so you need these two if you want to make winner's bracket for Major 4. So there's the desperation aspect. There's just a lot going into these two matches that I just got to stay away from them. I'll root for Minnesota, but like a 1-1 outcome for Rocker would not shock me whatsoever. And seeing that both underdogs in those series are plus 120 and plus 130, you know, that might not be a bad way to play it. So that would be my one suggestion for those two matches here. But LAG is obviously in a world of hurt as well. Just kind of a tragic story for their season so far. Obviously, the company just like firing everybody, and Arcides, you know, having an injury or some sort of problem where he had to get subbed out. The coaches on the team, like, just a chaotic year for the Gorillas. But hey, now you get to fly out to Wisconsin and play Minnesota, who's vulnerable, and maybe you can get a win in front of a crowd and make something of it. But yeah, just a stay away from me, as yeah. Is most games, two horrible teams. So
I will say that map when Minnesota is, their spread is -32.5. That seems a little excessive. For against LAG. LAG's actually not half bad at hard points, so that seems a little excessive to me. But
fair. Yeah.
That's my feelings on that. Okay. Last game on Saturday, LA Thieves versus Seattle Surge. LA Thieves +1.5 -240. Surge -1.5 +180. Thieves -115 on the money line. Surge -115. Over 4.5 +150. Under 4.5 -200. Again, this is two teams we talk about a lot. I've got Thieves slightly favored 55-45. But the thing of it is, though, if Thieves lose to London, then suddenly Seattle become favored in this game, and then you get some really good surplus value on this, right?
Yeah.
So,
I
kind of like that.
Yeah, if you like London in that first game, I would just wait this out and see if London can win or at least make that first match close, and then maybe buy back on Thieves on Saturday. Yeah, these two teams are very close. I also have a 55-45 in favor of Thieves, so we're in complete agreement there. That lends itself to maybe a little bit of value on the -115 for Thieves, but yeah, I think we come at it from different angles. I like Thieves a little bit in that London series. I think they can take care of business there, so this number could shoot up a little bit, so I'm more inclined to take it now. If you're like Robert and you think London could make some noise in that first match on Friday, second match on Friday, then maybe wait it out because Thieves could get up to even money or plus 110 or something like that. So, yeah, I think that's by far the best way to play this one.
I will say again, Seattle -12.5 in hard point seems a little bit excessive. That's the wrong team favorite. I have Thieves favored by 30 in the hard point. They're giving me 12. I'll take that any day. Okay. I don't think they're that good at, I don't think Surge is that good at hard
point. Surge is 500 or better on every hard point map. They have the number one win percentage and they're number one in my power rank. That's the one mode where I feel great about Seattle. It's like, it's the search that's still shaky, right? It's, I don't know, the control for Seattle's pretty solid. I think Thieves have overachieved in that a little bit, but at the end of the day, like, it's still Seattle's search that is going to matter in this series, I think. So I actually maybe would lean Thieves minus a map and a half, whatever that price would be. But yeah, Thieves are still a great hardpoint team. I'm a little surprised you have Seattle down on hardpoint, but
Well,
each their own.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. I'm yawning here. Moving on to Sunday now, finally. Toronto versus Seattle. Toronto -1.5 +130. Surge +1.5 -170. Ultra -200 on the money line. Surge +146. Over 4.5 +150. Under 4.5 -200. I've got Toronto as a massive, massive favorites. 90% favorites to win this.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah, I've got Toronto -1.5 at 70% chance. Just a drubbing in, almost beating them by 100 points in hardpoint, beating them that by 6-3 in search and destroy, and then 3-2 control. Like, I have an absolute beatdown here. I've got Toronto a 35% chance to hit the -2.5 here. So my model absolutely loves Toronto here. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, another match that feels like it's priced spot on. I would lean Toronto with you. Toronto -1.5. The tough thing, though, I think Seattle's hard point is still so good. But, and this is one thing I didn't touch on with Seattle, is their fortress control. 3-3 on the year, middle of the pack. 15-10 overall, so if you take out those six maps. 12-7. Which is very solid. But again, Toronto, I think, could get a really nice boost just because they rarely play Fortress, and they're also middling on that map too. So Toronto should be favored in control, should be heavy favorites in search, and are close enough in hardpoint. I've got Toronto as the second best hardpoint team, just slightly behind Seattle. So I think a Toronto 3-1, pretty likely. I've actually got a 3-2 as the most likely outcome, but if Toronto, you know, split the hard points, can take care of business and search, do the same thing in control, this ends in a 3-1. So I don't mind the +130 with Toronto. We'll see if this price moves at all. Both teams play earlier in the week, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Toronto plays Boston. Seattle plays the match before against Thieves. No strong leans for me in either of those games, really. If anything, I like Boston in that Toronto game, which might mean a buyback opportunity on Sunday if their price drops a little bit. But again, we'll have to see the Seattle Thieves match as well. So I think wait it out, but if that Toronto price gets nice and juicy, that might be a good time to strike.
Yeah, I'd say so. All right, second last match of the weekend, Optic versus London. London +1.5, -115. Optic -1.5, -115. London +215 on the money line, Optic -300. Over 4.5, +180. Under 4.5, -240.
You like London, just say it.
No, actually, I have Optic. 65% chance to win this. I do have a 3-2, though, so I do have London +1.5 at like 58%, so there is some value on that. Not a lot of value though, but there's some value there. But yeah, I do not hate London in here at all. I don't hate them +1.5, which is a nice compliment to taking them early in the weekend with Thieves, right? So I'll take London +1.5. But outside of that, I think that's about it I'll take on this. I do have London weirdly favored in the hard point. What's that spread? 30. Okay, I'll take 30 points. Give me 30 points with London Royal Ravens. That's fine. I'll take that.
See that?
Yeah, that's a massive amount of points. 30.5 points. That's pretty large for this.
Yeah, especially for an Optic team that they've won a lot of hard points.
By very close margins.
Yeah, a lot by super, super close margins. So I could see London competing in that. I mean, we just saw this at Major 3. London kept it close. They could very well do that again. The one worry for me, and I know I've mentioned this a lot, but Fortress Control being out matters quite a bit. Optic were 1-5 on that map. Their fans actively booing when that map would come up on the screen because they knew it was a horrible watch, and they knew their team was probably going to lose anyway. So with that map out, Optic 10-13 on Hotel and El Asilo, which still isn't good, but it's better than 11-18. So if Expo gets involved, like, that could help, I guess, either team a little bit. But I think it boosts Optic even higher. The tough thing is the price is just so high, right? Hovering around minus 300, minus 115 to cover a map and a half. I mean, the Search and Destroy is a clear advantage for Optic, I think, but London can make noise in Hardpoint. They have all year. Control is still up in the air if Expo gets played or not. So, yeah, a bit of a stay away for me again, but I don't know. It's tricky, right? This is Optic's one match of the weekend, I think. Yeah, and London plays the first... or the second match versus Thieves. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah. One that I'm not really interested in. I think Optic take care of business, but the series might go a little longer than people think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last but not least, that Florida FaZe match that we were talking about so much before. Yes. We are finally back. All right.
Match of the year right here.
Yeah, and the spread is 2.5. Florida +2.5, -200. FaZe -2.5, +150. Florida +440 on the money line. FaZe -800. Over 3.5, -185. Under 3.5, +140. Yeah, I'm FaZe here. Give me the 3-0. I'm betting the 3-0 on this match. I've got FaZe 91% chance. I've got the -2.5 at about a 40%, 36% chance. FaZe massive favorites in every game mode. Only like a 30-point favorite in the hard point, but like that's still a pretty, compared to everything else, FaZe only being 30 points favorite in the hard points is so like FaZe, like the spread is 36, so I actually vaguely favor a Florida spread there, but that's I'm not trying to get 6 points of hard point value here. There's way better value in some of these other games. So this screams FaZe 3-0 to me at least.
Yeah, especially when you consider, right, we don't really know Florida's travel situation or how they're going to play out the weekend, having to go to Wisconsin on Saturday and then play from there again the next day or fly home and play the next day. I don't know. Either way, you're going from playing Minnesota on Saturday on a LAN environment in front of a crowd, and then the next day you got to log on and play FaZe in a completely different environment. With travel involved, like, it's not crazy travel, but still, it's a quick turnaround. For me, yeah, this is FaZe or nothing. I don't love it, but I cannot side with, like, I cannot make a case for Florida at all in this match. I guess the one thing, right, FaZe, a very, very good team. They probably want to get reps on Expo Control. If they're somehow bad at that map and Florida is good, that could throw a wrinkle into things where maybe it takes FaZe an extra map to win. And FaZe notorious for winning in, you know, a map 5, but a much, much easier opponent than what they're used to. So, yeah, I like FaZe here a lot, but not a ton. I don't know. Definitely FaZe, though. That's all I'll say. I just get a little shaky in these matches where I have so much confidence because I know some of them are going to fall absolutely flat on their face. So hopefully this is not one of them. But that's it, Robert, right?
That is it. That is the weekend.
All right. Sweet. So, well, that was a little longer than usual.
A little longer, but to be fair, we did do the... Actually, it's only an hour and 18 minutes, but we did the season, we did Scrappy, we did the MVP,
champs,
and then all the qualifier win totals. To be honest, I love those. I was so sad we didn't have them last time.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're so nice. Yeah,
I wish like they were on Bovada or anywhere else I could take them. But
yeah,
that's cool just to even talk about because I love running those numbers. You know, before every stage, just to see kind of all right, how does how do we expect the bracket to shake out, you know, winner's bracket versus loser's bracket. So to actually see like a win total posted, that's really, really cool. So best of luck with those for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will. I'll be betting those. I it's always fun to watch them because then you get to be like, oh, I want this team to win in this game, right? Or I want that game. Like you have much stronger rooting interests in a lot of different games that way. And I really do like that because it's like with some of these, right? Like when you're seeing FaZe versus Florida, you're like, whatever, right? Like you maybe put something on a -2.5, maybe a spread here, a spread there, but like you're not really able to invest much in the game. But suddenly if you've got FaZe over 3.5 wins or something, suddenly you're like, okay, you're like,
gotta have it. Yeah.
But now to be fair though, I get basically in a lot of those games, like, and there's so many games that are like that, right? Now it's the league seems to have flattened a little bit, but even then though, like for some of these games, you're like, okay, just win the game, right? Don't care how it looks. If it's a 3-2, it doesn't matter. Just win the game, right? And then you're, mm-hmm. and then you're good. But that's the key part to this, right? So it's, yeah, mm-hmm. I do enjoy it, and I do think it brings a lot more fun to the game than not having those. So yeah, I enjoy watching them and play and basically being able to see those in action. So yeah, I'm excited to be able to bet those, and yeah, well, we will see you guys here next week for week 2 of the qualifiers, and then obviously follow us on Twitter. I'm posting projections. We're now posting kill projections. Bet365 is now doing games 1, 2, and 3 single kills only for 2 players on each team. Very excited about that. I saw that they did games 1, 2, and 3 single kills for 2 players on each team last night, and I was like, well, guess I have to, because I have the numbers, right? Like, it's not like I don't, cause like, I generate kills for the whole series, right? I'm like, okay, I got to just build that out and expand it. So I only have, like, I see how many kills are in each game. So I'm like, okay, got to spend the time. So I spent a couple hours last night doing that. But time well spent, because now I'm seeing value on some of those picks. So we'll see. Maybe we'll post those. I'll see how they do for day 1, and then we'll go from there. But yeah, excited that, again, I'm excited that we keep getting more and more betting markets for the Call of Duty League, and it's really Absolutely. Good. The fact that that exists, the fact that we're getting, like, the fact that we get qualifier wins and kill total, kill overs and unders, it means that there are people watching, or that means that there are people who are betting and watching, right? And that's the main thing.
Even what got me into COD, honestly, like, during the pandemic, DraftKings, like, I now that's unavailable to me now that I moved out to Idaho where everything fun is banned, but yeah, I was doing DraftKings projections for the last few years, and that's a lot of fun because you're rooting for players in the kill feed to pop up, and it, like, when that happens, it's like, it's just, yeah, it's a different feeling than like rooting for a team specifically, and you kind of want, like, I don't know, they're just interesting things to play out where you want long games because of more kills, or you want short games if you've got unders, and yeah, it makes for a lot of fun, and yeah, it's great to see all that content in the space for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see you next week, and yeah, follow our Twitter and follow us on Twitter to see our projections, and yeah, we will see you guys next week. See you, everybody.